And good evening to you. A great Saturday evening to you right here on Siouxland Public Media. It's the B-Sides with Bolin and Blumberg. And actually today, we have the opportunity to call it the BBC broadcast because Bolin, Blumberg, and Cindy are in the house.
All right.
And Cindy,
got a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it does. You know, somebody used that before.
Yeah, it worked out.
Special show for you today. Well, we have a special show for you every week, but this one, hey, you're gonna enjoy it. It's Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. 50 years on, they came together in 1969. They performed at Woodstock. Many of the songs that they performed there were performed for the first time. And we're going to hear from them. We're going to hear from the bands that they came from. And we're going to hear from bands where members of those bands came from. If you want to follow along, take out a pad and paper because we're going to figure it out for you.
I have that right here.
Yeah, I know. I know. So, Cindy, you came along today.
Yeah.
Because you're... I'm so glad. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young historian.
I'm not the historian, actually. I was a super fan, and their music, when I hear it, I'm brought back to high school and college, and that is special to me, like a lot of the music. But I also like, I'm reading a book called Hotel California right now about the origin of the folk rock, kind of Laurel Canyon groups that came out of there and how that all worked, and it's just fascinating. And I love everybody that came out of that movement, but Crosby was kind of a key player in connecting people, as was Mama Cass Elliott and Joni Mitchell and all those people. But it's just, I think that the way they use their voices is extraordinary. And it's one of those things that when they interviewed Graham Nash, it's like people can cover our songs and they sound good, but they don't sound like us. And Crosby, who's a vocal genius as far as figuring out tones and tunings and whatever, kind of explained that. And it was just the way these three voices fit together. And I'll tell you this story later about how they got together.
Hey, we're going to get into all of the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Did you ever see them, Johnny?
Oh, I've seen them several times.
Yeah? Yeah. Did you see them when they played here recently?
I sure did.
A couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Well, if you remember that concert, and we all do.
That was in 14, I think.
Yeah. It was in one of those years that seems like a century ago.
It does. It does.
If you were there, you got to hear this song right off the bat. And I'll tell you, it sent the shivers up and down my spine when they did this. Here's Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Carry On, Siouxland Public Media.
One morning, I woke up and I knew a new day, a new way, and new eyes for all. Lord, the way of the mind kept on. The sky is clearing and the night. The sun, he come, the is coming. Love is coming to us
Siouxland Public Media, the B-Sides with Bolin and Blumberg, and today a special guest hostess, Cindy. Wait.
Hi. Hostess with the mostess.
Yes. Yeah, she is. She is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Teach your children.
I have that. Girl. I have a question for you guys about song, okay?
Okay.
Because John's a musician, he knows. Who owns, who owns the catalog of, Crosby, Stills, and Nash songs or any of these groups? I mean, is it Atlantic Records? Is it, I've always wanted to use that song at the end of one of my documentaries. And I thought, I don't have $2 million or whatever to kind of do that. Who has the rights to a lot of these things?
Well, if you're getting a song from someone, you just go through their, like ASCAP or BMI.
Okay.
To get their song, and then they'll get a royalty. ASCAP will get it and give them their part of it. So you just...
Like for a film, though? I mean, it's,
I think it's just...
I don't know.
You hear a lot of rock songs on the TV during commercials and stuff, and you got to pay.
You do, but they pay. I mean, Ted used to do that.
You got to pay for that.
Yeah, Ted used to do that at Gateway, and he had to pay lots of money to do it for his company. Now, this is a documentary, which is different, but I see this at the end of the film I'm working on now, and I've always wanted to use it.
You can get in touch with your good buddy, Dave Crosby.
Well, I don't email. I mean, I'm usually on emails with him when Norm sends me one, but Norm could ask him.
He might hang up on you, though. You never know what's
going on. No, he follows me on Twitter. I don't know why. I mean, he knows who I am, but I would love to use that song.
Well, people get moody, That's what I was saying.
Yeah, he can be that way.
Yes.
But he's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy. Brilliant guy. Seriously.
A lot of musicians, I don't find that Johnny's been the case, but a lot of musicians can be moody. I've never seen him moody.
He's a sweet guy.
He is. So anyway, getting back to the theme of the program, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, 50 years on, when they played Woodstock, they played this song for the very first time. They said they were scared.
Blacklist.
Definitely. But we're going to hear that song, a different version, off this magnificent 4-CD set of Crosby, Stills, Nash. It's got like everything they ever recorded. Here's an alternate version.
Was it recorded or unrecorded? I can't remember.
Well, let me see if I read it up there.
Unreleased
recording of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, Siouxland Public Media.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard.
Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
Oh, babe, have mercy.
Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not dreaming.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard. Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free, and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you, I do, that's forever, yes and for always.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard.
Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard.
Do
Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, right here on the B-Sides with Bolan and Blumberg, and our special guest. Let's flick those books for Cindy.
Yes.
She's here today. She's, wait, got to put your mic on, Cindy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Okay, because I always sound like no one can hear me, so can you hear me?
Of
course. You can, yeah.
We all can.
Okay.
We all can. So I've got a Sweet Judy Blue Eyes story.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Of course, was the first song off their first album.
Okay.
And was just amazing.
It is.
So when I was working in a butcher shop in the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
I've been there.
What?
I've been there.
Yeah.
The same butcher shop? You might
You've
have.
Been at the butcher shop up and
You probably were.
Not there anymore.
Not there anymore.
I don't think there's a butcher shop there anymore. But when I was working there back in the 70s, one of our customers was Judy Collins.
Judy.
She lived in the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Was she nice?
Well, you know, she only came into the store once. Mostly she sent somebody to pick up her stuff or had it delivered.
Sure.
But she came into the store once, and it was like I climbed over the counter to shake her hand and say hello.
Of course you would. Absolutely.
Be a good neighbor.
She and Stills just toured, actually. Was it a couple years ago or a year and a half ago? Kind of a nostalgia tour, which is kind of fun because, you know, their love story. And he took quite a long time to kind of work his way through.
So it was a real serious deal.
Oh, my God. He was just, they were madly in love, but she kind of moved away from it a bit. And I think that's what I'm reading. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know him, so I don't know the story. But I've read versions, and so he was kind of dealing with how to get over this and get through this. So, yeah. But they apparently were in a car one time together. And she, I think, had recorded Someday Soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he put in a harmony, and she described it in her book as just miraculous, the way that the two of them sang together. So I wish they would have, you know, done more together at that time. Would have been kind of fun.
Or something
fun to hear.
Something to look up for and maybe purchase for yourself.
Maybe I could find something.
I think
they only recorded when they were older. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, my sister saw them. She said they were good, but it would have been fun.
Speaking of harmony, have you noticed how they really can... They'll take that harmony through a whole song.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like David Crosby just sang one line. You remember the one line, you know when it's coming up. And they go back to the harmony through all three of the songs, really, we've heard.
Oh, yes. I mean, that was the thing that really made them stand out. They were the first American supergroup, I think,
yeah.
Right? Is that what they were
That's what they're
considered?
Called. That's what they were called.
But they stood out because of the harmony.
Harmonies were, you know, so important and everything, but, you know, had... In the day, they had the Letterman, the Beach Boys listened to, the Four Seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
A certain harmony. Theirs is totally different.
Yeah.
But it's spot on.
Yeah, spot on.
Well, I guess Crosby, and I'm reading this here, but what they said is he was a master of vocal arrangements, and usually what you do is somebody sings the melody, and the other two add the third and fifth notes on the scale above or below. Mm-hmm. And it says he would look for an alternate way of voicing the harmonies. And I don't know how he did it, but Stephen would take the melody, and then David would come in on the harmony, and then Nash, the first time they actually did this, heard in his head this higher because he's got a tenor.
Mm-hmm.
And then people heard this, and they were at either Joni Mitchell's house or Cass Elliott's. Nobody really knows for sure. But the first time they did it, it was kind of a party trick, and, you know, they'd all come back from the Whiskey Go-Go. And the people in the room were like, what the blank, blank did I just hear? This is miraculous. And so it was just really hard to...
It's a blend of different...
It's an amazing blend.
So speaking of Stephen Stills, before he got into Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, I mean, each one of those guys had their own career or were in another band. And that's where we're going now.
Okay.
We're going to start with some Buffalo Springfield. This is with Stephen Stills. And later on, Neil Young was in the band, but this was before he got in.
Okay.
So this is For What It's Worth right here on Siouxland Public Media. The B-Sides with Bolan and Blumberg.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
I am a child. I last a while. You can't conceive of the pleasure in my smile. You hold my hand, rough up my hair. It's lots of fun to have you there. I gave to you, now you give to me. I'd like to know what you've learned. The sky is blue, so is the sea. What is the color when black is burned? What is the color? You are a man, you understand. You pick me up and you lay me down again. You make the rules, you say what's fair. It's lots of fun to have you there. I gave to you, now you give to me. I'd like to know what you've learned. The sky is blue and so is the sea. What is the color when black is burned? What is the color? I am a child. I last a while. You can't conceive of the pleasure.
There's Neil Young for you. Right there from Buffalo Springfield, Last Time Around, I Am a Child. Before that, For What It's Worth.
That's very nice.
That was beautiful. Nice. I've never heard that. Have you heard that one, John?
No, I never had that.
That's off their last album. They were kind of Buffalo Springfield's last
Buffalo
album.
Oh, Buffalo Springfield. Okay.
It's called Last Time Around.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Very
really
Neil
nice.
Young.
Yeah, very Neil Young.
Very Neil Young, yeah.
So the question is, where did the other guys in the band come from?
Yes.
So we got Crosby, right? Crosby came from the Byrds.
Yes, he did.
He sure did. And Nash came from
The Hollies.
So let's play a little of that and see what we can get into. And then after that, we're going to find out some of the people who were in the Byrds and who were in Buffalo Springfield and where they went after those bands disbanded.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of stuff
to
cover.
It's quite the family tree.
It's yeah, family we, tree.
It sure is.
It's your
family tradition. So with Cindy and Bolin and Blumberg on the B-sides, here's 8 Miles High from the Byrds.
Thank you.
Those are the Hollies for you right here on the B-Sides. Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. Before that, we heard from the Byrds, 8 Miles High.
Yes, I love that. You know, John, it reminds me of the old patio. Okay, Boomers in Sioux City here, you guys are going to remember this, right?
I do.
Just every time I hear this, Erica's, I think of the patio.
The butcher shop.
Yeah, yeah, it was well, the butcher shop with Judy Collins there and at the patio, but...
We were Tommy Remp and, you know, whoever.
Tommy Remp carded me. Anyway, he used to card me, and then he'd say, your dad was in here earlier. I'm telling your dad. So it's whatever, but uh-oh. No, that's...
When the Whip Comes Down.
It's one of my favorite songs. Who sings that, Eric?
Well,
this is
the big secret right here.
Okay.
Because that was... Graham Nash wasn't in the band when this song
was... No, I was going to
say
that.
Oh, he had left. Yeah, he had left.
Yeah, this
right.
is from 1972.
Yeah,
I didn't think he sang
like
that song.
No, he didn't.
So
but
who did?
We don't have to tell anybody.
Oh, okay.
And I already knew. I was wondering how to bring it up, but...
Yeah,
well, I think
later.
He did like Carrie Ann and Bus Stop. And
he did, sure.
Those songs.
Yeah.
Those are more bubblegum. This one I love because it's just a great rock song.
Yes,
so that's
great.
Why
I
we included
song.
It.
Right.
You and I agree on a song, Eric. This is huge.
Hey.
This is huge.
I know.
Okay.
So after
I thought
the...
you just snuck that one in.
Huh?
I thought you snuck that one in.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I can't,
and you're way more knowledgeable.
I can't pull a wool over your eyes.
I suggested it.
Your hair
does
that.
That's my wool, yeah.
Yeah, that's your wool.
There you go.
So after Buffalo Springfield broke up, two members of that band, Jim Messina and Richard Furay.
Is that like Loggins and Messina?
Loggins and Messina.
Okay.
Jim Messina was on the last album, the Last Time Around album that we just played.
Oh, okay.
So he joined with Richard Furay to put together a band called Poco. And then, in the Byrds end of the equation, Graham Parsons, who had been in the Byrds, and Chris Hillman, the bass player from the beginning, went and did the Flying Burrito Brothers.
I need a chart for this.
Yeah, well, that's why you have
Where
to bring
they,
your big
what
chief
do they do
tablet
with Roger
out here.
No, I need a diagram.
What do they do with Roger McGuinn?
Well, Roger McGuinn went on to do his own solo stuff.
Okay.
And changed his name from Roger to Jim.
Why?
That's one of the questions, one of the holy grails of rock. Why did he change his name from Roger to Jim? But he became a solo artist under the name of Jim McGuinn.
I'm going to find out.
Well,
anything
is possible.
Yeah.
We can find out anything. So I was telling Cindy on the way over, Poco is more like overalls and... The Flying Burrito Brothers are nudie suits.
And tell me what
Marty
nudie
Stewart.
Suit.
Yeah. These are the...
They're called nudie suits. And I was like,
what's
that?
That's the name of the guy who did them in
you
L.A.
Like the Elvis things.
Oh,
and the
yeah. The Elvis
glittery
stuff.
Glittery kind of.
Absolutely. So let's hear from the hoedown people.
Okay.
Poco people.
I love them both. Poco, Flying Burrito Brothers. It's country rock. It's wonderful stuff. And you're listening to it. Only right here on Siouxland Public Media.
You better think twice about leaving me behind. Make up your mind about what you're gonna do. You know it ain't easy when your love hurts night and day. Oh, how you please when I hear you call my name. Yeah.
love is real. So come on and let me know just how you feel. You better think twice about leaving me behind. Make up your mind about what you're gonna do. You take my advice.
Siouxland Public Media, the B-Sides with Bullet and Blumberg, and Cindy is in the studio as well. Those were the Flying Burrito Brothers, included two members of the Byrds, Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman. Before that, we heard You Better Think Twice from Poco, which included two members of Buffalo and Springfield, Richard Fury and Jim Messina. And the bass player was Timothy B. Schmidt, who went on to play for
the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles.
Yeah. They're all connected, man.
How about Rusty Young?
Rusty Young. He's the pedal steel guy.
He's amazing.
They had Rusty Young in Poco, and they had Stinky Pete in Buffalo's Flying Burrito Brothers. So those were two bands. They both employed the pedal steel pedal steel guitar, honey?
I have no
clue. Yeah, slide guitar, pedal steel deal, sleep at the wheel, all that kind of jazz,
yeah,
you know.
I don't understand those, but that's okay.
That's okay. You don't have to. All you have to do is enjoy the music, and I see that you really were enjoying that Poco song.
Well, I was really, at the Flying Burrito Brothers, you know, when you first mentioned me, I'm like, who are they? But I really liked the Poco, and I thought their harmony was actually really great. So
Poco.
Nothing against the Flying Burrito Brothers.
I saw last year with Firefall at Hard Rock. And
really?
They sound exactly.
Flying Did they really? Burrito Brothers?
Poco.
Oh, Poco.
Poco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a great touring band.
Yeah, they put out a great live record called Deliverance.
And they
it's
sounded
fantastic.
Good.
Really,
the
really
Hard Rock.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah. That's terrific.
That's great.
Sounds exactly the same.
Did you talk? Do you know any of those guys, or did you
play
around?
I know a couple guys from Firefall. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, cool.
They're from Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Thought so. Well, here we are.
Actually, the drummer for Firefall was with the Byrds, Mike Clark.
Mike Clark, who is the brother of Gene Clark, who is with the Byrds.
I don't know if they're brothers.
I didn't think they
were brothers because they spell
their
name different.
Do they really?
Yeah,
one
yeah.
with an E
I'm
and one
reading
with
about
just
it.
A K?
I'm seriously
well,
reading about it. I think
me.
That, but that's what I think. But I'm going to double check.
You are trying to fool us.
You may be right, but
you're
I think
exactly
hey, you
right.
know, one thing that I don't want to do is put bad information out over the air. So if I'm lying,
I think you're wrong about that. I don't think
it's a good thing she was here to correct that for me.
Well, I don't know.
I always thought that they were brothers.
No.
But
I think that you may be incorrect.
Mike Clark does not have an E.
Okay.
Gene does.
No, I thought it was opposite.
Well,
now we're all
going to
argue about
it. We're going to take out our 1969 smartphones and figure it out for you. We're going to now.
It shouldn't take too long.
Well,
right.
We got two more songs for you, and they're kind of special. So let me set this one up.
Okay.
What happened to Steve Stills after Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young? Well, they stayed together
there.
For a while,
yeah.
But he went on. He went on to put out a couple of records.
Barry Goldberg?
Yeah, with a band called The Rides. That's Steven Stills, Kenny Wayne Shepherd,
right.
Barry Goldberg.
From Electric Plague.
And Chris the Basher Layton from Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right.
So they put out two records, one's called Pierced Arrow. This is Can't Get Enough. The thing that's fascinating about this particular song is that he decides to cover a song by one of his previous bandmates.
Oh, okay.
Dead silence.
No, I just...
Come on, Eric, what did he do? What did
which
he do?
Bandmate?
Who did he band?
Which bandmate?
It's a Neil Young song.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Rockin' in the Free World.
Oh, well, of course.
The Rides right here on Siouxland Public Media.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Okay.